Seated this morning. You know, for the last 3 weeks, we've been in the series we've been calling I Am Who You Say I Am, and we've just been taking a look at some of the lies and labels the world tries to put on us and tries to tell us who we are, and we've been trying to combat those things by diving into Scripture and taking a look at who God says we are. And if we look at that picture, God paints a very different picture than what the world paints. And I love the song by Hillsong that Pastor James got the inspiration for this series. And the song is called I Am Who You Say I Am. But in the bridge of this song, there's a line that says, I am chosen, not forsaken. I am who you say I am. And I think that's just a powerful statement as we get ready to go into this week. And then next week will be the last week of this series for us to realize that we are chosen. It wasn't that we just happened to walk by at the right time, or we were happened to be walking down the street and God just kind of said, yeah, I guess I can pick you. He chose us. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a professional basketball player. I grew up in Evansville, Indiana, and there's a Division I school down there, the University of Evansville, the Purple Aces. I don't know what a Purple Ace is, but that is what their mascot was. And so one of the things they would do at these games is they would let all kids like 12 or 13 and under come down, and they would line the outside of the court. And as the Purple Aces would take the floor, they would run by and give all the kids a high five. And I remember being like 8 or 9 and going down there on the court and looking at these massive human beings, right, and giving a high five. And I was like, I want to do that, right? I want to do that one day. But as I started to get a little older, as I started to play more basketball, I quickly realized, one, I wasn't going to be playing professional basketball. And two, I was not going to be playing for the University of Evansville Purple Aces either. I might be tall, but there is a slight difference between a 7'2" guy and 6'5". And as I grew older, I kind of started to feel a little bitter about this because I wanted to do it so bad. And I would ask questions like, why can't I be taller? Why can't I be faster or quicker? Why can't I shoot better? Why can't I just be better at basketball? And my mom used to tell me and all my siblings, I'm the oldest of 6, she used to tell us, and I used to roll my eyes at her, but I'm starting to realize my mom like might actually know what she's talking about and as I get a little older. But my mom always used to say, and she still tells my siblings that are home, God must have something else planned for you. And I always kind of thought that was the church answer. Maybe that was the pastor's wife coming out in her. But I'm starting to realize as I grow older, there is a lot of truth in those words, that God must have something else planned for you. And we all have moments in our lives where we feel this way. And it could be something like somebody else has a gift or a talent that we wish we had, and maybe we even get a little jealous of that person for this gift or skill. And sometimes it may just end up being something somebody else has that we wish we could have. And we start to ask questions like, why can't I be in that position? Why can't I have that skill or that talent? And our human nature starts to make us measure up with other people. We start to put ourselves side by side with others and start to try to kind of keep score. And unfortunately, I think this thinking sometimes, if we're not careful, can make its way into the church. And what I mean by that, and we're going to talk about that today in our scripture that we're going to be in, but we start to measure our gifts, the gifts God has given us to do His work with other people's gifts. And we start to say, well, I don't have the right gift or the gift that works the best. And unfortunately, our human nature again then tries to almost one-up each other. And we keep that score. And unfortunately for a lot of people, it puts this emphasis on that almost like maybe their gift isn't good enough. And so then they just decide, well, I just won't serve. And then, like we've been exploring in the series, we quickly can start to believe the lies and the labels that the world tries to put on our lives. So let's go ahead and turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of 1 Corinthians. We're being in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we've been in 1 Corinthians quite a bit this year. We spent several weeks in a series on 1 Corinthians. And so I'm just going to give some real quick background info. 1 Corinthians was written by Paul. And then if you want to get kind of confused, it was Paul, who used to be Saul, who is now Paul when he writes this, okay? And so Paul has written this letter, and he's written it to the church in Corinth. And this church, if you read 1 Corinthians, had a lot of things that were going on. And Paul has decided, you know what, we've got to address these things. There are some things we have to take care of. And so Paul has written this letter for a very specific purpose, and it's to acknowledge and to walk through some of these things. And what Paul wants this church, the church in Corinth, and us today to understand, this church divided because of the arrogance of its more powerful members to work together for the advancement of the gospel. Because you see, even in the early church, even in like 70 AD, this church in Corinth had fallen for this trap of measuring their gifts. But unfortunately, in the church in Corinth, it was that this one specific gift was more important than any other gift. And Paul is desperately pleading with them and asking them to drop their divisive one-upsmanship and to build up the faith of those who are weak and witness effectively to unbelievers. I read an article in Consumer Reports while I was preparing for this message. And this survey they did found that 1 out of 10 Americans said they would not give up their Starbucks or Dunkin' habit even if they didn't have any money left in their bank, if their finances were really, really poor. And that same article said that when asked what is the last thing you would cut back on in order to economize, 38% of Americans said they would never ditch television, satellite, and streaming services like Netflix and Hulu. And what this article shows is that our consumer-driven mindset, this consumer-driven world that we live in, has blurred the lines between necessity and luxury. And this blur has kind of started to make its way into other parts of our life. And what we realize is that this consumer-driven attitude says that our comfort, how we feel, is more important than anything else. And it doesn't matter who we put down, it doesn't matter how we treat other people, as long as we feel good about themselves. But Paul wants the church to work together to put aside the selfish desires. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another. And this is what we are going to explore this morning. This is what Paul is getting at, is that we need to work together because we are better together. Our consumer-driven mindset, our selfishness to not want to give our talents and time or to say that my talents are better than your talents is only going to divide us. And I think Paul has a great way of illustrating this here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we're going to start at verse 12. So chapter 12, verse 12 together this morning. And Paul says, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." So Paul starts with this illustration about how there are many members, which is us. We are many members. We are many individuals. But the first thing he brings up and the first thing we need to understand when we're talking about the labels the world puts on us and who God says we are is that we are the body of Christ. And Paul makes this pretty clear here. It's not a question. It's not kind of a like suggestion like, well, we might be the body of Christ. No, it is that we are the body of Christ. And this is how he illustrates and decides to talk about the church. The church is the body of Christ. Yes, we are many individuals, but we make up one body. And I also love here in his opening words, Paul really makes sure that we understand there is no dividing line in this body. Jews or Gentiles, slaves or free, it does not matter. No human title, no human label can separate us or cut us off from the body. And then Paul continues with verse 14, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged," I love that word there, arranged, "he chose, he put in place the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body." And so we're going to keep coming back to this, but I want us to understand what Paul is saying here this morning, what he is trying to communicate to the people in Corinth, and what I think he is trying to talk to us today. He is acknowledging, yes, the body has different parts. The body has different gifts. The body has different talents. Not everybody has the same good gift, or not the good gift, has the same gift or the same talent. But he talks about that even though there are these many members, we are one. And to keep this in the realm of medicine and the body, to keep this idea, it's that we are one body. Our bodies have different parts. We've got fingers and toes and hands and ears and eyes, but we have the same DNA. And that DNA is Christ. And also notice what Paul is saying here, though, too, is that it's not just important for us to catch that we are one, but he's really wanting us to talk, and he's going to hammer this home a lot as we read a little bit more. but that one gift is not greater than the other. That if the whole body were an eye, it would not work. If the whole body were an ear, it would not work. If the whole body were an eye, where would be our sense of hearing, our sense of taste? The body cannot function without all of its parts working together. And what I also think Paul is saying that we need to catch this morning is that we all have a role in the body of Christ. If we are many individuals but one body, we all have a role to play in serving the body. And whether you think that role is important or not, or whether you think your gift is as good as somebody else's, doesn't matter, because what Paul is trying to say is that's not how this works. Paul is saying that what's very clear is it doesn't matter what the job is, but that we do the job for Jesus. Paul is not saying it does not matter what your gift is as long as we use that gift for Jesus. I think another good illustration to use is our worship team and our worship ministry. I served in worship ministry for 5 years before I took the position of student minister here last fall. And I say this because I think this is just a really good way for us to kind of to use this. And I still get an opportunity to serve here and to volunteer on Sunday mornings. But if I were to get up this morning and say, you know what? My gift and talent of singing and playing is way more important and way more valuable than the gifts and talents of the people in the sound booth. Now, I'm going to be really careful with what I say, because Greg's back there and he has a magic button that says mute. And so depending on what I say, and some of you might be hoping he would just click that button right now, but if I were to get up and say, my gift of singing and playing and all these other things I do is way more important than anything they do in the booth, and I hurt those people's feelings, which I'm sure it would, and they walked out, we would have a very serious problem. Because you see, without the booth, without the people in the sound booth, we wouldn't have Bible verses on the screen. We wouldn't have lyric slides for us to sing with. We wouldn't have lights. We wouldn't have our live stream. And there would be no sound. And very quickly, the worship ministry would cease to function in the way that it needs to. And just like if the body of Christ, if we as individuals under one body tried to only do one thing, the body of Christ would cease to function. The body of Christ would not be able to accomplish everything it needs to. And Paul is very clear here as he continues in verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, I again love that word composed, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You know, when we think about our human bodies, if I were to give you guys homework, which I'm not going to do, I'm not giving you any homework, but if I were to give you guys homework and say, next week, bring me back a list of what you think the top five most important organs are in your body. And I think there's a couple we could all pretty quickly agree on. One would be our brain, right? It's the information station. It receives knowledge. It receives information. It sends out information. It sends signals. It makes our body do all the things we don't have to think about, right? It helps us move our muscles. It helps us breathe. It helps our heart to pump blood. So without our brains, we would be in a pretty bad spot. Our heart's pretty important, right? It pumps blood through the body. It adds oxygen to the blood and makes sure that the blood's going everywhere it needs to. Without our heart, we would be in pretty big trouble. Our lungs are really, really important too, because without them, we wouldn't be able to breathe. We wouldn't be able to get that oxygen that we need. And so without our lungs, it would not be very good. And we can go on, and we could argue what we think our top five are. But as I got to thinking about this, I thought about maybe some organs we don't think about very often. And one that came to my mind was our kidneys. We can't see our kidneys. We probably don't think about them very often. At least I don't think about my kidneys. We don't have to think about them to do their function. They just do it because our brain tells it to do it and our body works in the way it's supposed to and our kidneys do their job. However, if our kidneys started to cause us pain, if we started to have pain, I guarantee you they would start to get in that top five list, right? All of a sudden, well, these hurt me now. This is pretty important. But just like the other organs, if our kidneys cease to function, without proper medical care, we would also pass away. And I think this is what Paul is getting at. And I know that I've said this several times, but I really think this is what Paul is trying to hammer into us this morning. And that's without all the functions, without all the members of the body, without all the individuals and all our gifts and talents working together under the DNA of Christ, the body will cease to function. And you may not have the same gifts as other people in this room. I know I don't have the same gifts that many of you guys have. But I want us to walk away with this morning. The first thing is that your gift is perfect. Whatever gift God has given you, regardless of where you think it is where it is at on the ladder, it is a perfect gift that God has given to you. He's given to you specifically, and then that no role is too small. No role in the church is too small. No one's gift is bigger. Because as my mom also likes to say, is that you were placed in this life at this time for a specific purpose. For a time such as this, and we may not know what that is, we may not know why we are placed, but you've been placed here at TCC in the body because your gift is perfect and because no role is too small. And so as we talk about this series, as we get ready to close next week, we're going to close this series out next week, as we talk about these labels and the lies the world tries to tell us, I want us to remember that we are the body of Christ. We've been labeled as the body of Christ to do His work. There's another song by Casting Crowns that's called If We Are the Body, and the chorus of that song just says, if we are the body, why aren't His arms reaching, why aren't His hands healing, and why are His words not teaching? And we are called to take our gifts and to be the body of Christ and to go and to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so as this world tries to label us this morning, as it tries to tell us who we are and it tries to tell us what box we're supposed to fit in, I want us to remember that we are the body of Christ. Your gift is perfect and no role is too small, but better yet, like we started with, you were chosen with that gift for this time. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the opportunity we have just to come into this place and to worship you and to open your word. Lord, the world does try to tell us who we are and who we're supposed to be and tries to put labels on us. And Lord, this morning, I just want to hope that we all remember that you chose us. You sought us out, you chased us down, and you picked us. And not only did you pick us, but you picked us for such a time as this. You gave us the gift that you've blessed us with. You've given us the talents that you've given us for this moment to work in the body of Christ. And so, Lord, this week, I just ask you help remind us of that we are chosen, that you've given us these gifts for this time. Lord, we thank you that we get to do your work, and I just ask you help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.